Good morning. Good morning. Paul Brower. Paul Brower was a consulting psychologist to management at the Harvard Business School when in 1964 he wrote the award-winning classic Harvard Business Review article called The Power to See Ourselves. The Power to See Ourselves. Brower's argument goes something like this. If you as a leader are going to grow, that will mean that there has to be a change in your self-concept. That is because the self-concept is so important because everything we do, everything we hear or feel or otherwise perceive is influenced by how we see ourselves. For instance, I think I'm a smart guy. And everybody relates to me that way. And then one day, I'm in a discussion with somebody else, and I realize just how little I know about the subject. And what happens? Somebody a whole lot smarter just had an impact on my self-concept, and now I can grow because I realize how far I've got to go, and I start studying more, I start reading more on the subject. That's a very simple explanation of his concept, the power to see ourselves. Bob, you got it? your intent. That's good. All right. Now, so if we're sensitive and we're teachable, our self-concept will change. I'm not quite so confident as I once was, and I can grow. I have come over the 40 years or so that I've been working with men. I was put to work almost immediately after the Lord brought me to himself. The men that brought me to Christ, they had a philosophy. If you're in Christ, you better get out and start working. So I've been meeting with men and talking with men for about 40 years. I've come to equate the whole idea of teachability with character. The ability to respond to input and to grow. I've come to equate that with character. Men, there's great power in seeing ourselves, and this is foundational for growth as a leader. Now, I think Brower might have gotten the idea from James, who we've been looking at here, the brother of Jesus. Open with me to the first chapter of James. Of course, James was 2,000 years earlier. Last week, Mark Maynard, his message was clean it up. Clean it up. Look at your own life. The things you can see, which he called moral filth, and the evil which only God can see. He says in verse 21, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. When my wife and I came to Christ, again, about 42 years ago, we came together. The thing that God had to do is to reshape the way we dealt with money. After we understood God's will, we both studied, we started to handle money God's way. Materialism is evil. It is immoral. So the Lord, in His grace, moved us to an attitude of stewardship. It's all God's, and what we have is His to take care of. So, that was our experience. That's the first thing he had to do. So whatever part of your life is disordered, James is saying, clean it up. Whether it be money or broken relationships or your language, whatever, clean it up. James challenges us in the last part of that verse 21. He says, get rid of it. Okay? So, today James continues, verse 22. He continues today. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Here is the basic problem, men, that we are dealing with. Sin, by its very nature, is deceptive. So we can't trust ourselves, and that is why we need the Word of God. Jeremiah, the prophet, says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So you can't change by yourself. You need the Word of God. Amen? 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. It gives us the body of knowledge of the Christian faith. It's profitable for reproof. It shows you where you're off the track. It's profitable for correction. It shows you how to get back and for righteous living, how to live the right way. James, man, is assuming we are in the Word of God when he writes this epistle. He's assuming we're in the Word of God. Look at verse 22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, but he's assuming you are in the Word of God. He's assuming you're hearing it. So you come to a place like this, which is 1 hour of immersion in the Word of God, by design. You're reading it, you're studying it, you're even memorizing it. This is serious business. And given the way the world is going, if you're not, you don't stand a chance to sustain the pressures of this world. Amen?
Amen?
You don't stand a chance. He goes on today. He goes on today, verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, mirrors have always been a way for people to make sure that their appearance, that they're presentable, right? Back then, you know, the mirrors we have today with the silver nitrate backing on them where we have a fairly lucid image of ourselves, that's only 200 years old. Justus von Liebig in 1835 invented the process. Back here is probably a piece of polished brass. The little mirror on the visor of my car, in back of the visor, has saved me embarrassment many times. I keep a little Swiss Army knife that it's got this very convenient scissors on it, and I've developed a good habit of making sure I check my face before I'm going to a meeting. And occasionally, I'll get some crazy eyebrow. It's sticking out like that. And what James is saying is if you were to look into the Word of God, for instance, the Word of God says that love is patient and kind, right? If you're not growing in that virtue of being patient and kind, it would be like looking in that mirror and finding something you left between your teeth for breakfast and not removing it before a client meeting. Would you do that? Keep going down the list. Love is never selfish and never rude. How are you doing? Never boastful or proud. The Word says, Bobby and I did not coordinate here, but the Word says that God loves a cheerful giver. Are you generous? Paul writes to the Corinthians, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Matter of fact, the scripture in the prophet Malachi says, test me. Start using money the way I want you to use it and see what happens. And anybody that's ever done that has proven God to be faithful. Take a good course or read a good book. I did. I went up to a Christian bookstore and I got a book called There Is a Solution to Your Money Problems. It was right on the shelf. It hit me right in the face. I went home, I devoured that book, and my wife and I did exactly what it said. Today we're billionaires. Remember now, men, in all dimensions of ethical behavior, all dimensions, the standard benchmark is the Word of God. Unconditional love, not the world's, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. Now, lastly today, verse 25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, Laws are meant to be obeyed. Here's the difference in the law of God. The difference in Christ's law, which is the law of what? It's the law of love. Everything is done in love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So when we obey it, as he says here, doing it, rather than restricting us, it frees us up. There's an amazing freedom that comes through obedient living with Christ. Hold to my teaching, Christ said. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free to be the man and the leader God wants you to be. You will be blessed in what you do. Have you experienced the blessing of God? Have you experienced the blessing of God in your life? There's no going back. There's no going back. Okay, today's challenge. Remember, if you're going to grow as a leader, the more objective we see ourselves through the lens of the Word of God, the more we do the Word of God, the more God will work in our lives. So if we want the blessings of God, then we know the Word, we receive it humbly, and we do the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for the privilege of talking about you and your word. Thank you for your brother James, who reluctantly realized growing up with you must have been hard to realize he grew up with the Son of God. It took a while, but he's all in, and we thank you for his letter this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.